that we started last week in Genesis chapter 45. I'll just quickly kind of give you a review here of what we looked at last week so that we're all on the same page. The outline that that is on your prayer bulletin is for this week, so you would have to have kept your last week's bulletin to have the outline. We looked at number one, Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. We looked at his revelation, and then we looked at his reassurance to his brothers that they didn't have to be afraid because this was God's work, God's plan. And then we also looked at his reliance in verse number 8, that this was God's work, and Joseph was trusting in the Lord, and that the brothers also had to trust in the Lord. The relocation was in chapter 45, verses 9 to 13. Joseph says, listen, you're going to come and live with me. You're going to stay and live with me, and I'm going to protect you, and I'm going to provide for you, and I'm going to meet all of your needs. And then we see the reconciliation that is found in chapter 45, verses 14 and 15, where he meets Benjamin, and we see him weeping over his brothers. And it really is a wonderful moment as he embraces them, and that relationship is restored. We see Pharaoh blesses Joseph's family in chapter 45, verses 16 to 24. And we notice the promise that is given, that Pharaoh said that, you know, your brothers are my brothers, and I'm going to treat them like my own family, and I'm going to bless them. We see Joseph giving grace to his brothers. And grace is unmerited favor, not giving them what they deserve, but showing kindness to them. And the Bible teaches us that as believers, we are to be a people of grace. We are to speak grace and show grace, not, you know, telling people, we use the idea of telling people off in our society, or giving them a piece of our mind, or, you know, seeking out revenge, but showing grace. And we see that Joseph, his coat was taken away from him by his brothers. But how does he repay that? Five new changes of raiment that he gives to his brothers. And so just wonderful grace that is shown. His brothers sold him for 20 pieces of silver, but he gives Benjamin 50 times that amount. And so great grace is given. And then we see the idea, I think this is where we left off last week, is the thought of it being settled. And in verse 24, he sent them away and they departed. And he said unto them, see that ye fall now not out by the way. And the idea there is don't quarrel or fight as you're traveling back. That you're forgiven. It's been settled. It's been done. And you don't have to point fingers. You don't have to, give blame to each other. That it has been settled. And the matter has been taken care of. So thirdly, we notice on our notes from last week, Joseph's brothers tell Jacob, their father, that his son is alive. So the Bible says in verse 25 of chapter 45, it says, and they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob, their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. And he is the governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, and he had said, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. So now the news has to be said to Jacob, right? Probably the hardest thing that the brothers would ever have done is to tell Jacob after 20-some years that Joseph is alive. And I mentioned last week that, you know, we talk about the forgiveness of Joseph, and it's always the focus point of the story, but what about the forgiveness of Jacob? You know, how he was mistreated all of these years, lied to, deceived all of these years. Every time Jacob would have talked about Joseph, those brothers knew that potentially he could have been alive. And so they come to Jacob and they say, Jacob or dad or father, you know, Joseph is alive. And we have some big news for you. You might want to have a seat. You might want to sit down for this. First of all, Joseph is alive, verse 26. And then they say he is the second ruler in Egypt. Next to the Pharaoh, he is the man in charge. And then also he says that he wants us to come back to Egypt with him. Now remember, there's a famine in the land. You know, it's a very difficult time. And then he says, listen, he's going to take care of us. He's going to provide for us. He's going to give us provisions. And the Bible teaches us in this passage of Scripture, as the news is given, the Bible says, and they told him all the words of Joseph, which he said unto them. The Bible says in verse 26, and he told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is the governor over all the land of Egypt. And I want us to notice this phrase, because I think it's important, and it's a life lesson for all of us. And Jacob's heart fainted. And Jacob's heart fainted. Now, it's interesting the meaning of that phrase, because when we think about it, we think, well, you know, he couldn't hardly believe what he was hearing, and, you know, maybe he fell to the floor or whatever, you know, our imagery and our mind is putting together. But the thought there, his heart fainted, it has the idea of to grow cold. And the meaning of that is that when the sons told Jacob that Joseph was alive, Jacob had become so cynical. He'd become so cold-hearted with everything that was happening in his life that he couldn't believe. He wouldn't believe what was said. I was talking to a pastor not long ago, and we were discussing ministry. And this pastor told me, he said to me, I have become so cynical in the years I've been pastoring. Now, he had been pastoring for longer than I have been pastoring. And he said, he becomes so cynical, you know, when someone comes and is nice. He said, it's just really hard for me to believe their motivations behind it. Because he says, I've been so hurt, and I've gone through so much problems within the ministry that I've become so cynical to people and their intentions. And the idea of being cynical is really just seeing the negative and believing that everybody has are acting with, you know, within their self-interest. It's all about me, what I want. And he had become so cynical. He'd been hurt so many times that it was really just hard for him to believe the intentions of people. And I think this is where Jacob was in his life. He had been hurt so many times, he could not believe. His heart would not let him believe that Joseph was actually alive. And so the Bible says that as the news was given, you know, he was shutting people out. And we gotta guard our heart with all diligence, right? That's what the Bible says. Guard our heart with all diligence, because it's easy for us to shut people out even when we don't even realize it. And I know I gotta guard my heart, and you need to guard your heart from that, being cynical in life and with all the things that we go through. And so the news of Joseph just seemed too good to be true. This could not be true in Jacob's heart. And yet the Bible says when he saw the carts, when he saw the entourage, when he saw the extra wagons and all these things, the Bible says that his heart was revived. It was the only logical explanation of what was going on. All of these things were in front of his house to take him back to Egypt. And so, you know, there's this hope that he has in his heart. Now remember that Jacob had two grandchildren in Egypt waiting for him. He'd never seen them before. Two grandchildren. And so we see that Jacob is given the news. Now, it could be, and again, I'm not trying to read into Scripture, but I mean, as we think it through, it could be that Jacob knew that his sons were carrying a heavy burden. I mean, the guilt, we know that these brothers were experiencing guilt because we see it through the story. It's kind of being revealed, right? Every little difficulty that they experience, their first thought is, God is getting us. God is chastening us. We are getting what we deserve because of how we treated our brother. So they were dealing with this guilt in their heart. And maybe Jacob, maybe he knew that they had a secret. Maybe he knew that they had a heavy burden. And in fact, he says in Genesis chapter 42, verse 36, and maybe it's a little bit of evidence here when he's talking to his kids. He says in verse 36, and Jacob, their father, said unto them, me have ye bereaved of my children. And so maybe that statement there is the idea that he was blaming them for, you know, what had happened to Joseph. And maybe there's more to that than we understand. But at the end of the day, we know that God was in control. And we know that God had a purpose in all of it. For four centuries, the Jews would be in Egypt. Now, the first half of that, they would be honored guests. But the second half of that, they would become slaves. And so God had a purpose in all of it. The Bible says this in Romans 11, verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. God had a purpose. And even though Jacob and the brothers and even though Joseph had a revelation in that dream that God would bring him to a place of rulership, yet at the end of the day, it was hard to see God's pathway and where he was leading. I want us to jump over now to chapter 46. Chapter 46 now. And we're going to begin looking here at verse number 1. The Bible says, and Israel took his journey, which all that he had, and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. And I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones and their wives and their wagons with Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him. his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. And these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt: Jacob and his son Reuben, Jacob's firstborn. And the sons of Reuben: Hanok, and Phallu, and Zezron, and Carmi. And the sons of Simeon: Jemiel, and Jamin, and Ohad, and Jashin, and Zohar, and Sahal, the son of the Canaanitish woman. And the sons of Levi: and Gershon, and Kohath, and Merari. And the sons of Judah: Er, and Onan, and Shelah, and Phares, and Zerah. But Er and Onan died in the land of Canaan. And the sons of Phares were Hezron and Hamul. And the sons of Issachar: Tola, and Phozan, and Job, and Shimron. And the sons of Zebulun, and Shered, and Elon, and Jaleel. These be the sons of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob and Padanaram, and his daughter Dinah, and the souls of his sons and his daughters were 33. And the sons of Gad, and Ziphion, and Haggai, and Shani, and Esbon, and Arai, and Erodai, and Erili. And the sons of Asher, and Jimnah, and of Izulah, and of Izui, and of Beriah, and of Sarah, their sister. And the sons of Beriah, and of Heber, and of Machaliel. These are the sons of Zilpah, which Laban gave to Leah, his daughter. And these she bare unto Jacob, even 16 souls. And the sons of Rachel, Jacob's wife, and Joseph and Benjamin. And unto Joseph in the land of Egypt were born Manasseh and Ephraim, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharai, a priest of On, bare unto him. And the sons of Benjamin were Bela, and Bakir, and Ashbel, and Gera, and Naaman, and Ehi, and Rosh, and Mopin, and Hopin, and Erd. These are the sons of Rachel, which were born to Jacob. All the souls were 14. The sons of Dan, Hushim, and the sons of Naphtali, and Jaziel, and of Guni, and of Jazir, and of Shalem. These are the sons of Bela, which Laban gave unto Rachel, his daughter. And she bare these unto Jacob. All the souls were 7. And all the souls which came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins besides Jacob's sons' wives, all the souls were 66. And the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were 2 souls. And all the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 60. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen, and Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, or Jacob his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck, and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. It's interesting to note that Jacob was with Joseph. Jacob was with Joseph the first 17 years of his life and the last 17 years of Jacob's life. We see in verse 31, And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, My brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle. And they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation? That ye shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle for our youth even unto now, both we and also our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Now, I hope I never have to read all those names again. Now, when you read this passage of Scripture, it may just sound like a lot of names, but it has a lot of purpose. There's a lot of purpose in it. You see, our study began in Joseph's life with looking at God's pathway. And this is important to understand as we think about God's pathway. Remember, it all began with Abraham. God made a covenant with Abraham that he would be, that his seed would bring forth a great nation. Going to Egypt might sound like it was backward in God's plan. It doesn't make sense to us, but it made a lot of sense to God. You know, God saw the purpose in all of it. And God never moves without a purpose and a plan. There are times when I begin to write a sermon, and I'm sure Brother Wyatt can attest to this, I'll have a topic and an idea and a text. And I'll begin my message by reading through that passage of Scripture and then breaking it down. And as I begin to outline that passage of Scripture with a topic in mind, I get to the end of that passage of Scripture and I get to the end of studying that passage and writing that message. And as I go over that message, I realize that it is not about the topic that I set out to write about. That the direction of the text and the direction of the Spirit's leading led me to preach a sermon that I never intended to preach. And I can honestly say, and God is my witness, that that has happened so many times. To the point where sometimes I'll even say, Lord, are you sure that's what you want me to preach? Now, I want us to know this, that that never happens with God. God never begins a pathway and then ends in a pathway he didn't know anything about. God had a purpose for Abraham and for Isaac and for Jacob. And this whole story about Joseph and all that it entails, from Joseph waiting to his persecution to all of these things, God knew every detail. And God had a purpose in all of it. Now, when I say Egypt, what's the thing that you think about as far as a picture? What does the Bible, how does it paint Egypt? It's a picture of sin. It's a picture of the world system. It's a picture of the world. And so even though Joseph and his family were to be in Egypt, and even though they were to be in Egypt, they were never to be of Egypt. And we see God's purposes in all of this. You see, they had served, or they served the true God. And they were to let their light shine among a heathen nation. The Bible teaches us in John 17:11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, speaking of believers. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. In John 7:15, the Bible says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Now, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. And I believe that this passage of Scripture wonderfully defines this. And Jacob is very cautious in going to Egypt. Abraham had sinned in Egypt. Abraham had done that which God did not want him to do in Genesis chapter 26 in verse number 2, telling his wife to say and telling his wife to deceive. It was Isaac that was forbidden to go to Egypt. And, excuse me, Genesis chapter 26, Genesis 12, it speaks of Abraham. And so this chapter gives us really some great blessings about what God was doing in their life, his protection, his provision, and his leading. I want us to begin with, I think, is such an important truth. Number one in your notes tonight. Jacob's acknowledgement of God. Jacob's acknowledgement of God. So the Bible says in verse 1 of our text, Jacob leaves his home in Canaan and he travels to Egypt with everything that he has. And there's no doubt that, and I mean put yourself in Jacob's shoes, there's no doubt that he would be experiencing a lot of fear with relocating to Egypt. There's no doubt that he would be terrified with this move. And so even though everything looked like this was the direction that God was leading, even though when you look at all the circumstances and situation, I mean, it seems like that's where God wants him to go. What does Jacob do? Letter A, Jacob seeks the Lord. Jacob seeks the Lord. For Jacob, this was a big decision. And how was he going to handle this decision? He was going to go to God. He was going to seek the Lord. He didn't want to act in his own wisdom. He wanted to make sure that this was God's will for his life. And so Jacob heads south to Beersheba, and the Bible says that there he pauses. Verse 1, and Israel, or Jacob, took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And so the Bible says he offers these sacrifices to the Lord. I want to read what John Phillips says about this passage of Scripture, this thought. I think this is so important. He says, what an important principle. Just because something looks like the right thing to do, and just because all the circumstances point that way, just because one's own desires affirm the move, and just because everyone else urges it as the sensible thing to do, does not necessarily follow that it is the will of God. The important thing is to ask, God, what do you have to say about this? Now, I want to, and you probably know where I'm going with this, but turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. You probably have this memorized, but you could write this in the margin because this is so wonderful how the Bible is interconnected here. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 6 highlights this passage of Scripture so wonderfully. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 6. The Bible says this, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Isn't that wonderful? You know, listen, Jacob would not go forward unless he had the Lord's blessing in the decision. And oftentimes in our minds, we think, well, if it's God's will, I'm not going to like it. Well, if it's God's will, then you know, if I like it, then God's going to say no. And that's obviously not the case at all. We know that God's will is always good, it's always perfect, and it's always acceptable. And yet we find that Jacob would not continue, he would not move forward just because he's pressured, just because that's where the circumstances were directing. No, he wanted to make sure that God was with him in this. And so we see him acknowledging the Lord, and we see Jacob seeks the Lord, but letter B, God directing Jacob's pathway. I love this in verse 3. The Bible says, and he said, this is the Lord speaking, I am God, the God of thy fathers. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make thee a great nation. And I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. A couple of things. First of all, notice God's sovereignty. I am God. I am God. I am the God of thy father. I am the all-powerful one. I am the self-existing one. I am the one that has a purpose and a plan for your life, Jacob. You can trust in me. But not only do we see God's sovereignty, we notice his affirmation. He says, listen, don't fear. Don't fear to go down into Egypt. Don't fear, because remember, Abraham went down into Egypt and made a mess. Isaac was not, was forbidden to go. And so this was God's plan. And he says, listen, I have a plan, and I will be with you. I will go down with thee. That's a wonderful phrase. I will go down with thee. Remember why Joseph was so blessed, right? Because the Lord was with him. And Jacob wanted to make sure that the Lord was with him. And Jacob felt assured that God's presence would protect him and help him and guide him. That he would indeed be in God's will for his life. You see, it's not about us praying, God, I have my plan, so you need to get on board. That's not Jacob's prayer here. It's not like, Lord, all right, this is what I'm going to do. I've had many people over 10 years of pastoring come into my office for counseling, but they're really not wanting counsel. They're just going to tell me what they're going to do and hope I agree with them. And oftentimes when we think about God's directing, we say, okay, God, this is what I'm going to do. I hope you'll jump on board with me. But what Jacob is saying, Lord, this is where I'm being directed, Lord. This is where the current is taking me, and I want to make sure that that's where you want me to go. I want to make sure that this is your will. Even though everything looked like that is what God was doing in his life. But he acknowledged God. I think acknowledging God is lost in our world today within Christians. You know what I believe you're doing here tonight? You're acknowledging God. Because I understand there are many places you could be tonight, and there are lots of things you could be doing. But what you're saying is, Lord, I need your help in my life. Lord, I need you to show me something in the middle of this week that will get me through to Sunday. Lord, I need your strength in my life. And I'm going to acknowledge you as the one that can help me. Jacob is assured that Egypt is where God wants him to go. And so the Bible says in verse 5, and Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, and their little ones, and their wives in the wagons, and Pharaoh had sent to carry him. So off they go to do the will of God. To do the will of God. Man, I wish I had some time. We're out of time. I want to spend a season in prayer. But we're going to look at next week an imperfect people following a perfect God. And when we look at that big list of names, we think, wow, what a wonderful family. It wasn't so wonderful. It wasn't so wonderful. They were an imperfect people, but they were following God's perfect plan for their life. And that makes all the difference in the world. And we're going to look at that next week. But let's take some time.